Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, July 5th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 13, the first two paragraphs, starting with at the hospital. And today's readers are Barbara W., Lorraine N., and Lois P. The reference numbers for July 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Meeting is 19,134, and the reference number for July 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard is 19,136. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Excuse me. I will now ask Gail K. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, I'm Gail K., a recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 steps from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, found on page 59. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Gail. And now I'll ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Sherry. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or leave the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as a whole, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards of committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today, and with that, I pass.
Thanks, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be timing. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in Bill's story on page 13, the first two paragraphs, and I will ask Barbara W. to begin our reading and get us started today. Go ahead, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. Barbara W. here from Seattle. After hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. There, I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. I have not had a drink since.
Oh, I'm not sure how I relate. I can't remember the exact moment at which I was separated from sugar, flour, and white flour and fat. I honestly, but what I do remember now is that I have 2 years and 2 months of abstinence. So at some point, I was relieved of my necessity to have sugar, white flour, and high fat. Those are the three things I always went to in my relapses. And having come from parents, both parents were alcoholics, and I know that alcohol is fermented sugar, so it tied in, but I never a desire to drink alcohol at all. And I tried it, but it absolutely had no appeal. But food, yeah. And it hit me in about my late 20s. And I became quickly aware how severe my problem was when I started having rapid weight gains and buying going to Goodwill to get different clothing, that kind of thing. And but when I found God, it's so amazing. I go to fix a lunch, and it's like I know exactly what I want. I prepare it, I eat it, and it's obvious to me that God has entered into my life every time I put a bite of abstinent food in my body. And God, well, number one, God is always present in my life. That much I know. So I guess I do have a newfound friend. I have a newfound friend every time I wake up in the morning. And since I like to call them unskilled behaviors, and they have been removed. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Barbara. Thank you so much for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you didn't share on Friday or Monday and you would like to share today, please give me your name.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Larry G.
Larry G. Hi, Larry.
Hey.
Anyone else? I have Donna B. and Larry G.
Don B.
What was the first name?
Don.
Don, yes, Don B. Great. Okay, anyone else Jordan before L. we get started with this? Oh, what was that?
Jordan L.
Oh, Jordan, hi. I cut you off. Okay, here's how who we have so
sure.
far. Donna
Sylvia.
B.
Marietta P.
And Sylvia F.
Joyce A.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay, now we're on a roll. Okay, here's what I have. Donna B., Larry G., Don B., Jordan L., Marietta P., Sylvia S., Joyce A. Did I miss anybody in this first lineup? Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. And Donna B., you're up.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. It's great to be here with all of you this morning. I want to comment on, Bill said, I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself, I was nothing, that without him, I was lost. And then he goes forward and does, in essence, what we call our fourth step. So in Bill's third step, this word, unreservedly, under his care and direction, and he admits that he's nothing without God. And to me, that's really strong language. To me, that is an indication, you know, a continuation of his white light experience, where he finds God and he's not reserved at all. He's turning his care, his will and his life over to the care and direction of this God that he entirely believes in. And what I'd like to say is that it is possible, based on my experience, to move forward with step four without having this unreserved relationship with a higher power. My relationship with a higher power, even after 4 years of entire abstinence from my alcoholic food ingredients and alcoholic food behaviors, even volume eating, my relationship with God is still reserved. And I take all the actions. I still, every morning, turn my will and my life over to the care of a God that I don't understand. And I did, you know, just dive into my fourth step. And every day I take all the steps. I pray and I meditate. I do inventory as it comes up. I do nightly review. I work with others. And I can do those things even though my relationship with God is still reserved, uncertain, and clear. So I just wanted to share that as an example that it is possible to do all the steps and to remain entirely abstinent and to aspire to a relationship with a higher power, even with some reservation. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing. Okay, Larry G is up, followed by Don B.
Good morning, family, and thank you to all those who give service on Monday. I wanted to speak to this because that was exactly, almost exactly my words. I had forgotten about this paragraph. When I came to a vision for you in May of 2020, I was dead. I was doomed. I was a goner. I knew 100-pounder, 200-pounder was in the making, and I couldn't stop it. And this is exactly the words I used. I asked God either to take me or to take this addiction away. But I did that before many, many times, other programs, and have recovered in those programs. But this time was deeper for me. I knew that I could not live another day without God. And that's been pretty consistent since May of 2020. Like Bill, I'm surrendering again. I have another surrender here 3 weeks ago, and it's around the plan of eating. I can't tell you how many food sponsors I've had over the last 26 years. I'll fire them immediately if they don't perfectly mirror my food plan that I have chosen that day. And I have now a sponsor I'm working with, and I'm going on 4 weeks now of not changing that food plan. My food plan is like a proverbial joke. I'll start a food plan out in the middle of the day like a joke at a cocktail party, and by the end of the day, it doesn't look anything like, or that joke doesn't sound anything like it got started. And I am surrendering to the fact in the big book that I've lost choice. I've lost choice to how much I'm going to eat, where I'm going to eat, who I'm going to eat with, the time I'm going to eat, and I am surrendering to God this planning stay, not to change it, eat exactly the times I have committed to. And I tell you, the freedom I'm receiving around this is just, I can't even explain it to you. And I'm recovered. I'm a recovered men's program. I have not sniffed the cork. You know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, we call it not sniffing the cork. I have not put a brownie in my nose and sniffed, you know, the aroma. And I'm also sober in my food behaviors, but this is a new frontier for me. It's giving up control, what I think is control, of my plan of eating to God, and to remembering that I have lost choice and I've surrendered to that. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Larry G. Don B's up next, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. This is Don B. Recovered compulsive overeater currently in Minnesota, but from California. And it's great to be here. This is beautiful. I had tears running down my face when this paragraph was read. It's just so beautiful. And I love using this as a prayer that I humbly offer myself to you, God. And I can do this, and it's a beautiful practice to surrender on a daily basis and just offer myself to God and say, whatever your will is, God, whatever is to come, I accept it, I welcome it, and I surrender, and I give you thanks. Whatever your will is, that is my only goal, God. And do with me as you will. I place myself unreservedly under his care, and direction. And I admit that of myself, I am nothing, and that without God, I am lost. And that is just so beautiful. And I'm willing to have my newfound friend take away root and branch, everything that stands between myself and my Creator. And I surrender it all up to you. And that he has not had a drink since. How beautiful that is, just that humble surrender. And I love the practice of being able to do this on a daily basis. Just offer myself to God, surrender completely, everything. Throw away all my little plans and designs, you know, what I abandoned those things, what I made up in my mind I thought I needed in order to be okay. To surrender that all and leap into my Heavenly Father or my Heavenly Mother's arms and hold on for all I'm worth. I surrender, God. I'm in your arms. Do with me whatever you will. And I just give thanks for this beautiful practice that we get to do on a daily basis. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Don B. Jordan L. up next, followed by Marietta P. Jordan L. Star 1 to unmute. Okay, why don't we go to Marietta P. and then we'll go back to Jordan. Marietta P., are you available?
Marietta P. here from Virginia.
Great. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, boy. You know, all these words in the book are so rich. And they are so rich. They surpass any kind of goodies that I once was using to, you know, soothe my soul that never soothed it. You know, it says treatments seem wise. And to me, you know, treatments seem wise. And to me, today, I believe that is the 12 steps for me. You know, and humbly offering myself to God. You know, as being recovered today, I do that on a daily basis with, upon awakening, what I do. And then follow through the day with the suggestion. And I, on page 87, it says, you know, when I'm doubtful or agitated, that I remind myself I'm no longer running the show, that, you know, that I have surrendered to God to run the show for me on a daily basis. And that, that humbly I pray throughout the day, thy will be done. And, you know, I mention that a lot because, you know, I want to remember that. I want to remember to go to thy will be done instead of the food when I'm agitated or doubtful. And I know it works because the book actually says it works. It really does. And I can tell you from my own experience it works. It really does. And it sure has made a transformation in my life. And, you know, it's, you know, because without God, I don't have that strength or courage to put one foot in front of the other and do what's in front of me. Because what I will do is I'll get stuck in whatever's rattling in my head. But I know when I start the day with prayer and meditation, and actually, and before I do that is, you know, turn my day over to God, ask God to relieve me of my self-centeredness, my selfishness, and wrong motives, you know, and I am just so grateful, you know, having, you know, my newfound friend, and that's how I really want to have a relationship with the God of my understanding, as a friend that is always there for me, you know, and I am there for him in respect of carrying the message to the next compulsive overeater, because each time I do that, that enriches my walk with the God of my understanding also. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Marietta. Jordan, are you with us?
Hey, yeah. Thanks for calling. Thanks, Sherry, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. So this humble offering, this was pretty foreign stuff, as far as I was concerned, when I got here. And I wouldn't have done this. This was not my gig. This was not like the kind of stuff that I did that came naturally to me as like a part of my personality or anything like that. But I did this, right? Like I did this when I got here, and I actually continue to do this on a regular basis now. So I did this in 2017. I humbly offered myself to my Creator, to God as I understand Him, or God as I understand God. And I did it only because it like made sense. Like I had come to understand the effect of compulsive overeating and my alcoholic foods. I had come to understand what it was that I was seeking from those things. And come to find out it was care and protection. The word Bill uses here is direction, right? He says care and direction, but I'd come to understand that like that's what I was getting from the food was care and protection. It was like my way of doing that for myself. So I was giving that up, right? Like I was surrendering that or had surrendered that in step one. So it was necessary to take steps two and three in order to like follow through with what it was that Overeaters Anonymous talks about, being free from compulsive overeating. It's the same for me. I haven't had a bite since, but there's been a lot of turmoil that's come after that. And that's why I say that I continue to do this every single morning, sometimes multiple times a day. I'm humbly offering things to God. I'm humbly offering my career. I'm humbly offering my friendships. I'm humbly offering my intimate relationship with my partner. I'm humbly offering all kinds of stuff all the time. And then I follow it up with some action. Like that's what it is that I'm responsible for here is taking that action. Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thanks, Jordan. Before I take the next two names, Sylvia and Joyce, I just want to let anyone know that may have joined us late that we are reading from Bill's story today, page 13, the first two paragraphs, starting with "At the hospital, I was separated." And now I will take Sylvia, followed by Joyce, and then I'll take a new lineup. Go ahead, Sylvia.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sylvia F. I'm recovered in Portland and very happy to be here with all of you. So what I want to offer from this paragraph is that I came back in December 15th from a six-month relapse. I came into the program 2005. I was in the vision meeting when the first meeting when my sponsor told me to be here, and there were 30 of us, and I grew up with vision, and I had recovery like it describes in here. You know, I surrendered, and I just obsession was lifted, and I know how happy I felt. And what does that mean? Joyous, free, kind to others. I had that for quite some time, and then I relapsed for, you know, a lot of whatever reasons, doesn't matter. Came back in December 15th, and I wrote in my big book, without any supervision, I wrote, I give up, I surrender again, and I dated it December 15th. And then I just took the steps. I surrendered my food. I had a food plan, and I surrendered it to my sponsor, which I hadn't done in a long time. Hadn't needed to, actually, before the relapse, for a long time. I just surrendered, and then, but it wasn't easy. And I know I've talked on the meetings that I was abstinent, but I wasn't free yet. I wasn't recovered, and I wanted that so badly. So I kept on just taking each, you know, each step that you take, not just the steps in the book, but every morning, do my meditation, do my prayer, reach out to others, surrender my food. I kept on just doing it. And then I want to say that what happened is I became willing, and I have gotten this, I've gotten a relief that from the food obsession. It started on Friday night. I took a 10-step call, and I heard what I was saying to someone else. So important, that service to others. So I heard that, and I started to feel this serenity. And the next morning, I heard someone else say something on a meeting that touched me deeply. And then Sunday on this vision meeting, someone spoke, and that was it. I could open my heart. It doesn't matter how it happens. It happened where I feel recovered, what we all describe. It's not a plodding. It's a freedom, that freedom from myself, from my brain, from my debating society. And so, I feel like all of this, what he's describing for me, and I can hear that my time is up. I don't have to have a great dialogue with God. I have to be willing to feel that relationship, and then I get what's promised, and that has happened to me. I am so grateful, and I want to do whatever I need to do every day to keep that. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Sylvia. Joyce is up next, and then I'll be taking new names. Go ahead, Joyce. Press star 1 to unmute. Joyce? Okay, I'll circle back.
Okay, let's try that again. Oh. This is Joyce.
Yeah, you can be heard. Go ahead, Joyce.
Okay, I want to thank you all for this meeting and making this possible. I wanted to touch a little bit on that first paragraph, because for all these years, and 23 years I've been in this program, I have been saying delirium tremors. And it's not. It's delirium tremens. And so I looked that up, and it's actually a quite dangerous condition. Sorry. From the withdrawal of drugs or alcohol. It says the whole body is sweating, fever, a water electrolyte imbalance. There's restlessness, irritability, delirium, hallucinations, fast heart rate, physical substance dependence, tremors, anxiety, dilated pupils, insomnia, seizures, and shallow breathing. It can be life-threatening to go through that detox without medical help. And it says that it starts maybe 3 days after you quit your toxin, and it can last for a week. And as I listened to this or read this, I thought that's exactly what I went through. I had 3 days of being just almost delirious with wanting the foods that I had put down, that I had given up, that I had thrown away. And then it was like a cloud was lifted And I thought, wow, this is what real people feel like. This is incredible. And it was just this last April, or no, actually it was February, Valentine's Day, that I put down the food with God's help for the very last time. And my mind cleared and the voices stopped. And the voices in my mind telling me to eat, go buy food, got to have this, going to die without it, they were quiet. And after I finished my amends, there was no more resentments in my head. There was no more anger and no more fear. My mind was quiet. I've never had that. I'm 70 years old. I have never had a quiet mind. It has just been a remarkable journey. This time, I totally surrendered to God. Always before, I reserved because I didn't really trust that anyone else had my best interests. And that's the way I was raised. I had to do it myself. I had to be there and cover for me. But this time, I believed that my God loved me and would be there for me. Oh, I hear my time. I just wanted to say, too, that I lost my best friend yesterday to cancer, and I remained abstinent through it, and I'm terribly, terribly sad, but I know she's in a better place, and I thank you all for listening, and with this, I'll pass.
Joyce, I'm so sorry. We offer our condolences to you during this difficult time. Thank you for sharing. And although I'm going to take a new lineup, but I want to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared on Friday or Monday and would like to share this morning, please give me your name. We have time for a few more.
Claire M.
Claire M.
Lynn H.
Lynn H. Look, now that we have time for one or two more after that, depending on time.
Chaya P.
Trisha D. And Trisha D. Okay, let's start there and see if we have time. Okay, go ahead, Claire M. You're up.
Thank you so much. I'm Claire M. I'm calling from the UK, and this is my first ever share. And I just wanted to thank everyone that turns up to this meeting because I'm really learning loads. I'm just working my way through the steps with a sponsor. But I'm actually studying Bill's story at the moment, so this is really helping me. I just wanted to share that I've been 8 weeks abstinent, and I believe that God has opened every door for me to bring me into OA, to provide me with a good sponsor, to show me clearly what foods I needed to put down. And I struggled with my concept of what God was. But I really believe that he struck me in that way that he struck Bill. You know, where he says how blind I had been, you know, I just needed to be willing. And I'd come to the end of what I could do with my own willpower. So I'm going to pass there, but I'm just really grateful for all your service. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire. We're really happy to hear you share today. Thank you. Lynn H. is up, followed by Haya. Go ahead, Lynn.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Lynn H. I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was excited to hear Bill's relationship with higher power he starts out saying, I offered myself to God as I then understood him, and ends up saying, and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. I don't know for sure, but I know I've had that experience. My God, when I came in, was a punishing God, a God that did expect me to do it myself, to pull myself up by my bootstraps. And what was wrong with me? I couldn't get this food in control, but, you know, and well, and it was everybody else's fault too. And so I think to, you know, do that fourth step and do the fifth step and become part of this wonderful fellowship is to know the love and acceptance that allowed me to have a higher power that is, I call now, my compassionate companion. And that is, it makes it easier to place myself under that care and direction if I believe in that care, in the direction that is caring. I can be more willing to go in that direction. And I wish everybody an abstinent day.
Thanks so much, Lynn, for sharing. And Haya is up next, followed by Tricia D. Go ahead, Haya.
Okay, I'm unmuted, yeah. Right? Now I am.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Haya P. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. I live in Colorado. I'm still in New Jersey, heading back to Colorado tomorrow afternoon, and after being here over 2 months. So I'm so grateful to be on the meeting, and I really love the topic. And at first, I just want to welcome anyone who's new, because it's such a so important that you're here. And this is a self-admission club, so if you want in, you're in. And I'm just so grateful. I just married off my daughter on Sunday, and it was so lovely to have some OA fellows there and to be able to really be present. And so much of it has to do with this topic, right? Because it was about, I just had to keep giving everything over and everything over and everything over and everything over. And this is not where I came from at all. At all, 30-something years ago, I did not have that connection. I did not feel that connection, I should say, because we always have the connection. It's just whether we are aware of it or not. And it was just such a beautiful thing to be able to be there. I had fellows from the program there, this friend who are still in program and some who are no longer. And I was able to share some experience, strength, and hope with one of them. And I was able to accept one of them just exactly as they are and not have to, you know, feel like I needed to, you know, because this is a program of attraction, not promotion, and she knows where the solution is when she's ready. And these are all gifts of the program, and I was fully present at the wedding. And in fact, people have made comments that they saw me like looking up and many times during the ceremony and before the ceremony, and that was such a gift. And I didn't walk in that way in the morning when we were getting ready. And then God put someone in my path that reminded me, oh, yeah. I mean, I did my prayer meditation, but I didn't feel so. I was very, you know, stressed, as one might be. And somebody reminded me in a way that they said something that made me realize, oh, my God, wait a second. And then I was able to do that. And instead, I'll end with this, that I realized a little while ago recently that I had been in certain areas of my life. I had been asking God to help this person and do this and do this and, you know, to help them and so that it's easier for them. And what I realized is really what I just need to ask is for me to have the strength and the grace and the compassion for myself and for others to go through whatever I need to go through. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Haya. And Trisha D is up next. Star one to unmute.
Right.
Hello, this is Trisha D from Georgia. Can I be heard?
Yes, good morning, Trisha.
Okay, thank you. This is Trisha D from Georgia, a compulsive overeater and gratefully recovered. And I just love this step three prayer on page 13, that second paragraph. And at the line, it says that I was nothing, that without him, I was lost. And I've been in OA since 2010 and been in and out of the program, relapsing, but never did realize how important it was, the spiritual connection, that I had a disease, that I was powerless, and only a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. And what I love about the steps, what my sponsor stressed to me, was when we were on step three, she asked me to write my own version of the step three prayer. And I can't tell you how transforming that was for me, that I actually took the words of the step three prayer and made it my own. It like became a part of me where I can just say to God, I am yours. You know, I love when you hold me in your arms and you take me with your loving hands and mold me to the person that you want me to be, your will, not mine, you know, and then remove from me all these defects of character, you know, and just, you know, make me the person again you want me to be. And it is just so been ingrained in my DNA, and it is the most intimate prayer that I can say when I kneel down every morning between God and myself, that is this personal prayer that I have with him. And it has made the biggest change in my absence, in my recovery, in my willing to do service for others, and just doing everything I want out of love for my higher power. And I just can't stress that, recommend it enough to newcomers to please write your own version of your third step prayer. And there's an intimacy there that is beyond understanding. So thank you for letting me share. And I so thank you for all the service everyone has been doing on this line today. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Trisha D. That's a great way to end the meeting. And now we will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.